Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
My name is Corey, and of course, I'm sitting with my best bud, Tony. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, brother?
Nothing. I'm pretty excited about our podcast today, but talking about our podcast is not going to go without a little bit of ball busting, because once again, our friend G, also known as Gerard Kierens, recommended our guest today, but for whatever reason, we can't get the man on, but he wants to bring on all of it. He wants us to bring on all his friends, but he won't jump on.
He would have been a great boxer, man. All the bobbing and weaving he does.
That's a good call, man. That's man. A really good call.
Come on, G.
Come on, G. Get on the podcast, man. You got a story to tell. Got a story to share.
Yeah. But, you know, we're thankful for all the people that he introduced us to. And today, you know, we have a NAHA award winner. And for those who don't know about the alternative show, she's been runner up twice in London. And we've been there once. And I mean, it's an incredible, incredible venue and incredible show. And
I want to hold you on that for just a sec though, because I didn't get to go to that show, but kind of like tell people that are listening in, not about the alternative show necessarily, but about like walking out on the stage at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh my God. It was incredible. You walk out, you know, we didn't get to walk out until after the, because we put on a presentation, kind of put on a show, right? And then you walk out, and it's kind of just circular, and it goes straight up, and it's like, I mean, it feels like you're in a movie. I mean, it's stunning, and these are the world's best hairdressers around you, you know, and I'm just lucky to be brought along, right, to experience that, and because we were with PR and Partners, who, you know, they did it several years in a row. But for her to be runner up in that a couple of times too, just speaks volume of her guest.
Yeah, it's a very cool event. The alternative show is not only, well, it was done at least in the U.S. the one that we did in Chicago. It was an alternative show, you know, an alternative show to what's now known as the ABS or the American Beauty Show. It was done that same weekend, but also it was alternative in the sense that like the idea was to push the envelope.
Yeah.
You know, the idea was to make the hair big and make it like fantastic.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, what we did was so much fun, and it's just totally out of the box.
nice job there. The alternative show is amazing. I was able to do the one in Chicago, which was absolutely incredible. Actually, maybe with our guest today, we can talk a little bit about the alternative show, because I don't know if it gets enough credit anymore.
It doesn't get enough love. You don't hear
it. Is it even still around? Do we know?
It's 40 years. They celebrated 40 years last year.
Okay, so that amazing voice that you hear, that's Francesca Rivetti, and she's going to be our guest today. But let's get in, and then we'll chat about it. Francesca, welcome to your day off. Thanks for making time for us, bud.
Pleasure to be here, guys. Thank you.
So let's get our two questions over with real quick.
Yeah, no, I just want to get in the conversation. Anyways, go ahead.
Where are you from?
Alabama.
Similar accent, but it's a little different.
You know, I've been in this country for blah, blah, blah years now. And, you know, I get asked that. If I got a dollar every time I was asked that question, I would be a billionaire by now. So just to make light of it, I say that. And the funny thing is, some people respond, oh, wow, what part?
Do you say London?
You know, anyway, so I'm from a small town called Peterborough It's about an hour and a half drive north of London. So in the from the UK, but I'm 100% Italiana, which is hence the name Francesco Rivetti.
The Rivetti part. How long was your family in the UK?
My mum is still there. Yeah, my mum.
I mean immigrated to the UK. How long?
They immigrated, in the 50s, 55. And they had four bambinos. My mum and dad actually met in Peterborough. They didn't know each other initially. They met in the UK.
Both of them are like immigrants. I mean, like
they were immigrants. I couldn't speak English until I went to school at the age of five because they didn't speak English. So we spoke Italian at home. So, you know, with that came challenges. But when we went to school, then they insisted that we spoke English at home because that's how they learned, was through us. And yeah, we grew up in England in a very small terraced house in Peterborough. My mum still lives in the same house.
Stop.
When I go home, there's all this nostalgia around that because I go back to my old bedroom and I still have an old dressing gown hanging up on the back of the bedroom door. So it's really cool. But yeah.
Were there a lot of Italian immigrants there? Like, was it like a town of Italian immigrants?
Yeah, so Peterborough, Bedford was the number one town with the highest Italian immigrant population, and then Peterborough was the second. Now, the street that my mum still lives on, every house, every neighbor across to the side were Italian. The corner shop was run by Italians, and so was the other corner shop on the other corner. So it was like our own little Italy. So they were surrounded by Italians all the time. The downside of that, though, was that my mum's English is so bad. I mean, she's like 84, bless her, and her English to this day is not that good, considering she's been now in England for, 64 years, 65 years, because they congregated together, they worked together at all the factories or on the farm. And so, yes, it was like little Italy. And every year, the wine season, the big lorries would come over from Italy with the grapes, and all the Italians would be bartering on the corner for like their cases of grapes. And my dad made his own wine, and we literally used to do the press with our feet when we were kids.
What?
In our small little garden in a small terrace house in Peterborough.
any Frank Gambinos or Al Capones?
not that I was aware of. I'm sure they existed, but I wasn't aware of them.
That's pretty cool, man. You know, like we certainly think of like the Italian immigration story, like in the U.S. You know, like, be it New York or wherever, you know, but I, you know, obviously we're not the only country that people immigrated to.
It's funny because when I used to do a lot of hair shows on the road and I was on stage and I would introduce, you know, I'd be introduced or introduce myself, people, I could see their baffling, questioning look on their face, like, wait a minute, she's got a British accent, but she's got an Italian name. And they couldn't fathom that, and they didn't realize that the Italians also went to England and not just the US and also Australia. So we we had a very strong Italian congregation in the UK.
I'm surprised there's anyone left in Italy. Do you still speak Italian?
Certo, certissimo, parlo abbastanza bene.
I think that was a yes.
Yeah. So how did you end up, or when did you come to Philly?
I came to Philly, when did I come to Philly? I think 97. I came to the States in 91 with Graham Webb International. I was part of their creative team for the product division. And I came over in 91. I was part of their team. I traveled all over, lived in many different places. And it wasn't intentional to come to Philly. It was just by accident. And my plan was to leave Philly. But every time I left it and came back, I started to like it even more. When I mean leave it, it was like every time I traveled and was on the road and came back, I thought, oh, it's not so bad. One of the things I love about Philly, it's so diverse. Such a diverse culture, amazing food, great art scene. It reminds me a lot of England because of the red brick, the narrow streets, the parks. Really, when my brother comes to visit me, who he lives in Northern Cal, when he comes to visit me, he feels like he's in London.
Oh, wow.
Reminds him a lot of London because of the history here. And, Philly's, and also I'm only 20 minutes from the airport, so it's a great escape. It's easy to escape when I need to or want to. and
Philly Airport. The Philly Airport is pretty, located pretty close to downtown. Unlike all our airports, I guess if you lived in Baltimore, I guess BWI is pretty close. But the rest of I guess National DC, yeah, just for me, I guess. So, do you how'd you get into the hair industry? How'd you find the hair industry?
Oh, lovely. I started putting rollers in my mum's hair when I was a little girl, and I would stand on the toilet seat cover trying to put rollers in her hair. And she would, like, shun me off because I just, "Mommy, I want to do it. I want to do it." But I think it was always in me. And then I never forget one day she went to go and get her hair done. Back then, we're talking the 60s, you either had it bleached, fried and platinum, or they did it really dark. There was very little in between. And I never forget, she came home and her hair was so dark. And I was like, wow. I was like taken by it. And she's rinsing out. She's freaking out because dad's coming home and her hair is like almost black. And I saw this dark water rinse out of her hair. And I was so excited about this dark water coming out of my mum's hair. And my first haircut, I was about 14 years old. And I made my sister sit down and I did my first haircut with kitchen scissors.
No.
Younger sister?
I still have a sister. we're still talking many years later, but I was like, sit down, I want to do this, I want to try it. But my parents obviously did not want me to be a hairdresser. They sent me to secretarial school.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy. Did I?
That's you're so far, you're so opposite of that.
She kind
of
exactly.
So yeah. I went to this secretarial school, and my first job when I left school was in an office. And but on Saturdays, I worked in the local salon up the road because that's how much I like doing hair. Wow. So then I got fired from my job because we only had two incoming lines. And guess who occupied those two incoming lines all the time? With my friend.
Making appointments for Saturday.
So I got fired from that job, and then I slowly etched my way into the industry.
Wow, that's incredible, man.
Yeah. But when you finally got in, how did your parents feel? Did they finally accept it?
He was like, "Oh, you're not going to make any money. You're going to be on your feet all day, you know." And I mean, look at me. I've come so far in the industry, and and he was really proud. He passed away a few years ago, but he was really proud of all my accomplishments. So I'm glad he got to witness some of that. But my first job was back in the 70s, was in a Sweaty Betty type little salon. It was called Petite Salon because it was tiny. And you knew what day and time it was by who was sitting under the hood, pink hood dryer. We had a whole bank of pink hood dryers. So you knew if Mr. Smith was in, oh, it's Wednesday, 10 a.m., because Mrs. Smith is here. And Mary, the owner, to this day, she could tease hair that it would be 10 feet off the head and then manage to smooth it out and pull it into those amazing shape, like a cottage loaf, a pleat, whatever. I mean, it was impressive. And I was just sharing this story yesterday to my students here that taking the reset class, that back then they didn't shape hair. They cut, like, when she was doing a perm or a roller set, because that's what they did, if it was too long, she would just whack it off and roll it. That's what they did. There wasn't like a method or structure. Oh, this looks too long, she would cut it off and then roll it in the perm or roll it with a roller set.
Whoa, that's so crazy.
I've got some interesting memories, and I can remember sitting on those dryer banks looking at the hairdresser's journal, which you may or may not be familiar with. It is the UK's number one trade magazine. It's a weekly magazine. And I would look through that and look at all these images and I'm going, wow, how do you do that? You know, and now fast forward, I'm doing that. So
incredible. Who are your hair heroes?
Definitely.
Oh, really, by the way, that's a really hard sentence. I want a little bit of credit for saying that sentence because that was a really hard sentence to get out.
Yeah.
Who are your hair heroes?
Well, I love Sharon Blaine. And as you know, she's retiring this year. I don't know if you know that. Trevor Sorby, of course, of Vidal Sassoon background. Vivian McKinder. Really love her work too. And actually, I'm going to say me as well, because I have worked hard at becoming who I am. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a lot of blood, sweat and tears, a lot of mistakes, you know, a lot of letdowns. And then, you know, and it's so great. I'm at a place now that I feel full and I feel so happy inside. I just absolutely love the industry still. I'm so passionate about it. So, you know, here we are on my day off. But it's not a day off because I'm actually teaching a two-day reset, which was Sunday yesterday, and day two is today. But I don't mind because I love doing it. And I think when you love doing something, it doesn't matter. You don't have a day off. It doesn't matter if you have a day off. And, you know, you've all heard the quote, if you're passionate and love what you do, then you never work a day in your life.
Or you work harder. I don't know.
I love to be back in many ways with my teaching. I love to teach. It's a passion of mine. I just love to impart my knowledge.
Have you ever had a chance to meet your hair heroes or had a chance to work with them?
Oh, that's a great, no. Actually, I mean, I've seen Vivian McKinder on stage. I'm kind of kicking myself right now because I know Sharon Blaine, all her courses on tour are sold out. And this is her last year doing it. And I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't sign up for the one in New York. But I definitely will invest in her book. She just launched a book, which looks amazing. So no, I haven't met them, but I totally, you know, I idolize them from afar. I stalk them. You know, I always want to see what they're up to. And they definitely inspire me.
That's us.
Yeah, it's definitely us. Hey, on that note, I want to give a shout out to Anthony Whitaker. Anthony Whitaker is the host of the Grow My Salon podcast, and he just had Trevor Sorby on. And for those that don't know, Trevor Sorby is at the end of his life, and him and Anthony talked about it quite a bit, and it was a pretty emotional episode. So, you know, if you're listening in and you're interested in what Trevor's up to these days, I highly, highly recommend listening to that podcast. It was a really, really good one. We had Trevor on a couple of years ago, and then Anthony has had Trevor on, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And it's a really good emotional podcast. So shout out to Anthony Whitaker for that, because it was a great episode.
Oh, I'd love to listen to that. Absolutely.
It's a really, really good one. And Trevor was like, the last 10 minutes of the podcast, like, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little emotional, you know, of him talking about his purpose and what his entire career has meant to him. You know, it was pretty remarkable.
Awesome. And
not to bring down the conversation there, but I just, there was no way I could not say it, because it's just so good. We had Trevor on a couple years ago, and for us, like, we're like a half a generation past the Vidal Sassoon thing, you know? So like our idol was Trevor, you know? So when we were able to bring him on, we had Vivian on, and then Vivian actually introduced us to Trevor. Is that how it went down?
Yeah.
Or was it Chris? I can't remember.
Chris is the one who set it all up. But then we had Vivian on, and then we had Trevor on, and we had Vivian listen to the podcast. She was a part of the podcast, but quiet until the very end, when we reunited them. And he hasn't, yeah, it was
amazing. I have to watch that. Send me the link to that.
Yeah, I'll definitely send you the link to that podcast. It was very, very cool.
Trevor, for me, was, I think, you know, I came into the industry in the 70s, mid-70s, and if you weren't cutting a clean line, it was considered a bad haircut, period. So the discipline to create those, as you can see, those timeless classic shapes, I didn't invent them, but I've mastered them over the years. And we all know the legendary Vidal Sassoon and his team, which Trevor Sorby was a part of, created those timeless classic shapes that really have set us up for our foundations. But when I became aware of Trevor Sorby, he was more out of the box as well. And I related to him more. But the way that I title myself is I am a rebellion disciplinarian, hairstylist, and educator. The reason why I say that is because if anybody wants to break the rules, it's me. You know, I love thinking out of the box. I love to come up with creative stuff and look at fibers and what can I do with that. I don't know if you ever saw my mop collection, which won me, not when it got me a nomination for NAHA a couple of years ago. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I just look at something. What can I do with that? You know, before I throw anything out, I always assess, what can I do with this? How can I make this work? What can I create out of this? Because creating is bringing an idea to life, bringing an object to life. And that, I love giving birth to collections. That to me is what it's like, if you know what I mean. That's where the passion is. It's like, it's an idea here, then it comes to fruition. And so, but what I love about being fundamentally classically trained is it keeps me grounded as a haircutter, as a hairstylist behind the chair, because I also work behind the chair as well. And it keeps me grounded. And that's why I love to teach it, because it keeps me grounded as a hairdresser. Because, you know, when you teach, you learn.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're in a student mode as well. And so, yeah, I'm all about, you know, thinking further out. And creativity is like a muscle. If we don't go to the gym and we don't pump our muscles, what happens? It gets all weak and a little bit jiggly, right? I'm glad I'm wearing a belt. You see my jiggle.
She's hiding the jiggles.
So to me, it's like when people say, well, how do you do creativity? It's a muscle. You have to pump it. You have to work it. The more you think of ideas and you nurture the ideas, I guarantee they'll come. They'll come a little bit more easier, a little bit more often. But I think you can inspire someone, but you can't teach them to be creative. You can inspire them.
And it's always great. You should understand the laws before you break them, you know, the rules.
So my favorite quote, learn the rules like a pro so you can break them like an artist. Pablo Picasso.
Oh, I
use that all the time. And when I use that, whether it's from a stage or classroom, there are always light bulb moments that go off.
How many Nahas have you entered?
Oh, entered? Oh, God. I'm not going to say 100, so there's not been 100. I've entered almost every year. I won in my first Naha. I won in 2004 for editorial. I was nominated twice the following year in two different categories. And then I got nothing. And I entered every year. And I got nothing for years. And then not last year, but the 2 years prior in a row, I nominated for avant-garde. So I love doing photo shoots. It's my passion. And so I always think, well, if I'm going to do a photo shoot, I will always do at least three looks.
Mm.
Sometimes I do a photo shoot with Naha in mind, but more often than not, I do a photo shoot because I want to do it. And then when I look at the finished product, but, all right, which category would this fit best for Naha? So, you know, when you do a photo shoot, it takes a lot of planning to do a photo shoot. You may as well get three looks and create a collection rather than just do one model.
Yeah, when you scroll through your work, I mean, you can't help but be blown away. I mean, it is so beautiful. It's so creatively, technically, and you can feel it all. It's stunning.
Thank you.
It truly is inspiring.
I just love it. I love to cut hair, color hair, put it up, put it down, put it in, put it out. I love it all. I don't like to say the word no, I can't, but I'll choose to do it or not.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say I can't do that, because I think that word should be eliminated from our vocabulary anyway. I'm definitely the glasses half full kind of girl. And when I teach, I bring up so much energy and positivity-ness to my students and bring them up, you know, and because I believe that what's available to me is available to you, is available to our audience.
Yeah. I mean, that word can't, if somebody's done it, it can be done. Right.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, figuring out, you know, how to do it. So, you know, if it's been done, it can be done.
So photo shoots is really my jam. That's like my whole.
So with the photo shoots, do you use the same photographer or do you pick up photographers?
No, different photographers. And, you know, because I've been in Philly a long time now, I've got a reputation in the art scene. Like,
oh, we've heard about your reputation there.
Yeah, I know, right? People want to work with me. In more ways than one. But, you know, I'm out there, I network, I go to art galleries, openings, Instagram is awesome. It's my portfolio. I don't carry business cards. I scout models myself. I prefer to find my own models than to go through an agency. And I've been blessed because I've attracted awesomeness, like awesome people that want to work on the same, they think the same. You have to have everybody to be on the same page passionately. If they're not, don't do the shoot. You'll ruin the shoot. So I work with different people. It's whoever's available or whoever fits that mold. But it's that's all part of the photo. A photo shoot is like a production. It's like a movie. You've got to find the cast. And you've got to come up with the concept. You know, there's a lot that goes into a photo shoot.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So when you do a photo shoot, when Francesca does a photo shoot, are you the director, or like are you collaborating with the photographer, going like, you know, is it a collaboration as far as like what the end result is, or is it, do you have something in mind?
Absolutely. It's what I do is when we do a photo shoot, we book it out 2 or 3 months in advance. We all collectively, that means makeup, hair, wardrobe, photographer, stylist, if you're using a stylist, we make sure that everyone's got it on their calendar, the date is set, and you have nothing else going on. You can't leave at 5 o'clock because I've got to go and pick up Johnny. No, you've got to be available all day. And then I work backwards. So then that gives you time to work on the concept, to create a storyboard on lighting, on the mood, on, you know, coloring, on makeup, everything. So everybody's on the same page. And then it just flows really well then, because everybody's been part of it, and it's their collaboration. It's our collaboration. It's not my shoot. It's our photo shoot. And the models, I get them involved. It's like we become one big family before the actual shoot day. And the excitement, everybody's so excited, you know, because like I work with the models ahead. I coach them on how to pose and how to breathe and, you know, kind of looks. And we have our poses set. Like, do I want you to be front or semi-front or side? Because especially if you're doing a collection for Naha, you know, typically most of the categories are 3 looks. There's only a couple that are 5 images. So you've got to look at, well, how are those 3 going to look? How are you going to present them? So I always look at the pose. One of the first things I do, what angle do I want these 3, and how do I want it to look as a trio? So then I build my hair around that, because if you don't want to be messing around on the left side, if the right side is going to be her look. So there's a lot that goes into the whole thought process of it. And by the time shoot day comes, everybody's super psyched on board. It's awesome, and we have an amazing time on set. We cry when we get you just know when you get the shot. Like when you look at the mock collection and the girl went wah, like this, we didn't ask her to do that. She looked at herself in the mirror. I don't know who she channeled, but also she turned around and she went, and we went, oh my God, that's it. Do that again. It was, and every now I have it blown up at home on my wall. Every time I see it, I get the chills when I see it. And we all of us on set felt that. And we said, that's it, that's the shot. If you just feel it, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. And because I love doing photos, I don't know if you know this, but I've organized a program I'm doing in Italy.
In Italian?
Well, it can be. I mean, luckily I speak Italian, but so we could have a little Italian lesson. May I expand on it a little bit right at this
absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely, your hour.
It's called A Hairstylist Creative Escape. Eat, Play, Learn. It's a 5-day program. It's September 10th through the 16th. So it's a Monday through Friday. I'm going to work backwards. You know, I love doing photo shoots. I also love Italy. I love vino, and I love Italy just period. There's nothing to love about Italy, right? So I'm like, well, why don't we put it all together? So on Friday, the last day, we're doing a photo shoot, which will be all day. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning for 3 hours, we're doing hair art creations. We're making hair pieces for the theme that we're putting together. And then we're going to do a cooking class. We're going wine tasting. We have an art, a tour guide taking us on a tour guide. It's going to be in Florence, Firenze in Italy. We're doing a tour guide, art tour. And all this is happening that week. It's going to be absolutely incredible. We had our first Zoom meeting 2 weeks ago. We have our second Zoom meeting this Thursday. So now that we've got people coming in to do the course, we're meeting regularly so that we can start building the momentum and also start building the idea of what the theme will be. And the reason why I'm doing it that way, because I'm bringing all the props, you know, the hair pieces, the wigs or the hair extensions, whatever. So I need to really narrow it down and know exactly what I'm bringing with me to this awesome program. It's going to be amazing.
When is this happening?
This year, September 10th through the 16th. 8 weeks of people. There's still room for two more if anybody wants to join us. And they can DM me on Instagram, @FrancescaRovetti_hairart, or my website, FrancescaRovetti.com. And it's just going to be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
What an incredible opportunity.
I know. You know what? I was getting excited as she was talking, because I think we've kind of like changed what a hair class or a hair show is, because I love that it's so well-rounded. I love that it's the sense of community, not just come in and learn like how to do X, you know, it's a sense of community. And as an industry, and certainly Tony and I have tried to keep the focus on, you know, the community of hairstylists. You know, and I love that this is kind of, we did Hair Love a couple of times, and Hair Love is very much about the hair community. And I'm very excited for where we are.
Al Vanessa Rose was telling me about Hair Love.
Yeah. That's another one. Yeah. Shout out to Vanessa Rose, of course. You guys went on a kayaking trip.
We did. And we almost drowned because there was like this monsoon that happened in the middle of kayaking in the lake. I mean, it poured, it was bouncing off, the rain was bouncing off the river and attacking us like needles. It was crazy, but so exciting at the same time.
And that happened to me on a boat one time in the middle of Deep Creek. Out of nowhere, it started like just thundering lightning and a little bit of sleet. And you're in the middle of this lake trying to make it back to the dock. And it's like,
people were paddling like crazy, trying to get under trees, and the water was so choppy, I was hanging onto it. I was hanging onto the tree. So,
did you have a life vest?
Yes, thank God I did. I had the life vest on, yeah. But you know what? Let me tell you something. We were never, ever so present. We were so present because we had to be, you know, but it was hilarious. We laughed so hard about the whole thing afterwards, you know. But that's nice adventure.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So always be a part of your story now.
That's right.
So we bonded on another level.
Listen, you always, when things get tough, that's where the bonds come in, man. You know,
exactly.
You know, like that's why football players are athletes and military are together, you know. Francesca, where were you with Graham Webb? How do we miss you? How do we miss each other?
I don't know. Well, you know, I came over with the product division, so I wasn't based at the academy. I was on the road all the time, and I was part of their creative team. You know, Irene, remember Irene Meikle?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Well, she was a creative director, and she and I, and with other members of the creative team, would create haircut collections for the product division. And then it was only taught at the academy once in a while, and mainly that was when we did the boot camp training for our regional and district educators that worked for the product division. So I really wasn't at the academy that often, so maybe that's why. And I'm, because Gerald was already living here, so I met G from the Graham Webb circle.
Yeah, we met G in London, actually.
For the first time.
Yeah, for the first time we were in London, and then he and then he came to the U.S. like within a month or something. It was like, oh, yeah, look, our dude's here, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Graham Webb offered, you know, an opportunity to go to London, to the school in London for a few weeks and learn, you know, there. And he gave us a great tour of the House of Parliament and all these special tours throughout England.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He is an amazing human being. You should try and get him on your show, actually.
Who, Mr. Graham Webb?
We've had
Graham Webb. Come on, Francesca. This is our first rodeo.
All right. Well, maybe bring him back. I don't know.
What, do you know how, you remember Ice Cap?
Yes, I loved Ice Cap.
Do you know how he came to create that product?
No. Tell me.
You have to go listen to the podcast. Yeah, sorry.
Listen to it.
But I do remember if you use it in the shower, it burns.
Yes. But he was in the hospital. When he was in the hospital, and they used to put that cold press on his head. And he was like, it was so invigorating. He thought like, how can I create that in a hair product? And that's how he came up with Ice Cap.
It was a top selling product, Ice Cap.
Oh, loved it. I remember. We had those little round brushes, natural brushes, and do the little head scalp treatments.
Sometimes it was too much for the client, right? Because it really
too much for me.
It was a tingly product. Anyway, Joy just walked in, by the way, just to let you know.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
So that's back to that, back to the Graham episode that we did, promoting podcasts here, but we had a really emotional kind of like ending to that as well. He talked about when Lord, who was it, Procter & Gamble, moonlighted his product, you know, and he was like, he got pretty emotional about that. But also an interesting story about him is that apparently Amy Winehouse used to sing in his house.
His kids are all highly musically talented. They are amazing. The daughters, the Webb sisters, they've done backing vocals for Leonard Cohen. They traveled with Tom Petty. And, you know, Graham is amazing because every time his kids would be traveling through Philly, he would always ring me or email me, I've got 2 tickets for you. Go and see them, which was, you know, amazing that he would still think of you like so many years later. Yeah. He's an incredible human being. He really is.
Well, Graham, if you listen to this episode, if they ever come to DC, you know, we'll take 2 tickets for whatever.
Well, he invited us to come hang out in London. And same with Trevor when we had him on the podcast. But unfortunately, with the pandemic,
you've got all these invitations to go to London.
We got to get over there.
You should go to the Alternative Hair Show and report live from there. It's coming up in October.
Oh, we can't do October, unfortunately. Maybe we should plan that before. We need to figure out how we can get in and how we can broadcast from there. I would love to broadcast from there.
That would be fantastic.
Is it still at the Royal Albert Hall?
Last year it wasn't. Now, I don't know if they're going back to it this year. But I forget, I think it's called the Troxy. It was a really cool venue, but it was not the Royal Albert Hall.
Right. Yeah. Well, nothing is.
I can remember going there years ago to see, you know, after Salon International, going to see the Alternative. And I'm like blown away by the artistry, right? It's just like unbelievable the work that these teams produce. And I remember sitting there going, oh my God, how do you get to be part of this? And then boom, 2 years in a row, I've become a finalist.
That's cool. That's really
incredible.
Cool. That is really cool. We did, like I said, we did the one in Chicago and it was kind of cool to be, we were young hairdressers at the time. And it was very cool to kind of be there with all your heroes, not just there, but like actually watching them work, you know, behind stage.
Okay.
And being on like parallel with them because we were working, you know, backstage as well.
Backstage is the best. If anybody ever gets the opportunity to assist backstage, take that offer because you will learn so much backstage. Yeah. So much.
Yeah, for sure. And also recommend you getting there early because if you're going to fan out early so you don't miss, so you're not fanning out when you have the opportunity to learn.
Are you part of a team like the Alternative Show? It's kind of like your hair photo shoot, right? I mean, you got to plan a presentation, and it's how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, last year was crazy because I was actually in Italy on holiday because I love Italy when I got the announcement that I'm a finalist, and then you have to submit a photo. There are only 3 categories, and there are, guess what, no rules. Awesome. There are absolutely no rules for either category. It's either avant-garde, cut and colour, or men's, and that's it. So I got the notification when I was in Italy, and I was coming back like the next week, and I had 2 weeks, but then you have to do a video. Then they come up with a theme. So last year was some kind of iconic theme, and you had to do up to a 1 minute video based on that theme and then submit that. And then that got so, and what I did this amazing look, my inspiration was Audrey Hepburn. So it's actually somewhere on my Instagram. It's definitely on my YouTube channel. And, but you know, we pulled it together. The first thing I did was I called my photographer who does videography as well. Told him about, I'm calling him from Italy, by the way. Like, I'm in Italia. Now I'm like planning a photo shoot, a video shoot. So yes, we've got the date on the calendar. Then I got to call the model, make sure she's available. And then that was it. And I came back and then I had to go hot and heavy right into it and make the pieces and create the look and then produce. But it's amazing what you can do with such short notice when you have resources.
Yeah,
I think David Bowie sang a song about that called Under Pressure.
Under Pressure.
So you know, here for the last 40 minutes, we've seen this big sign behind you that says The Reset. What's Reset in Chattison? And you also mentioned it, that you're doing a class of Reset. What's The Reset?
So Reset is a program I put together last year, and it's a program to bring us back to our classical global fundamentals. So it's revisiting our skill set. I know that most schools in the US do not teach much cutting, if at all. They probably just skim over the surface. So, and it really saddens me that individuals pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go to school just to get a piece of paper, and then they can't even hold their scissors at the end of it. So it's a program I've been thinking about for the longest time, and then it came together last year. And I just think it's such a, it speaks volumes. The name, it's Reset. It's just, we have to stop and we reset. So it's for anyone in the industry, any haircutter in the industry, regardless of level of experience. But especially if you're recently graduating, this is something that I highly recommend people invest in. But it's for anyone. I've got such an eclectic group of lovely ladies with me this weekend with different backgrounds and different levels of experience, but we're all on the same page when we're doing the reset. So it's a way to like come back and rethink, revisit and refresh our skill set, because I do feel that haircutting is becoming a lost art.
Yeah. And how often do you offer this?
This has been my first year. So I'm going to be offering it every month in my studio. You can bring me to your studio. And I've also put together a 2-hour video, which is going to go on my website soon. So if they can't make it, there's a plethora of information and techniques, and I'm on there doing the haircuts as well. So they can invest in that video also. But the best way to do it is hands-on workshop. You know, you know.
How many days is it?
It's 2 days. It's boot camp style. So when I say boot camp style, we don't stop for lunch. We just have a little nibble, and I do a demo. And the morning we revisit the head shape. I spend at least an hour talking about the reference points of the head shape. Where does hair lay and live when you release it? Because every section lives somewhere. And the disciplines of hair chi, what I call hair chi, and that is the practice of positive posture. And why do we do that? Because you have to be eye line to action line when you're cutting hair. If you're doing a bob and your line is here and you're looking there, you're not going to get a clean, precise line. So there's a lot of, it's all about the disciplines. It's revisiting the disciplines, and the girls are loving it. That I promise you, if you do your hair chi, you'll thank me for it, because you'll get a stronger back, you get stronger legs. You know, you keep that core engaged, you keep that A-frame, you lunge left and right, and you really move into the flow of your haircut. So we talk about scissor ergonomics, how to hold your scissors, how to flip the scissors. I mean, it's a whole process that we go through before we do the class. And when they sign up for the class and they've paid in full, what I do or what I've done, which seems to be really working, is I put a video together called Call to Action. And it's a call to action on Hair Chi, on scissor ergonomics, and I forget what else, something else. It's for them to prep before class so they become familiar, because a lot of that is uncomfortable for some people when they haven't flipped their scissor or haven't used their body more effectively. So it's a way for them to prep before class. And, you know, practice makes progress. If you don't prep and practice, then that's on you, right? So Reset is the class for anyone, but I can guarantee anyone that takes it, a couple of things it will do, it will definitely boost your confidence after that class.
Yeah, maybe after Vivian's podcast, I went up to her residence and we did a razor class with her. Maybe we'll go up and we'll do the Reset class with you.
I was literally just thinking like, I haven't cut hair since 95, and I wonder, like, the last thing I'd want to do would be to slow the class down. You know what I mean?
No. But, you know, Reset, it's not solely about the line. So there's Reset 1, 2, and 3. Reset 1 is line work, the one length shapes, your classic shapes, what you're seeing behind the A line, the square, and the halo page boy bob. And then we progress into graduation in the second class and layering and face framing. And then we break the rules in the third class. So we learn the rules like a pro so we can break them like an artist.
So if you did the entire Reset program, it's three classes. So it's not just the first class. I mean, the one class.
We focus on Reset 1 and then we progress. So next year, I'll be introducing Reset 2 as well as Reset 3. So ideally, you would have to take Reset 1 and progress that way. And it's a gift that you're giving yourself. It's an investment that you're giving yourself. And it's obviously then it's up to you as an individual to maintain that skill set behind your chair. We all lose our way at times. So that's what Reset will do. It will bring you back to a comfortable place and definitely boost your confidence. But Reset isn't solely about the shapes you're seeing behind me. It's about these disciplines should apply to every haircut you do.
Right. I totally agree with all of that.
So I'm really passionate about it. And that's my baby right now, as well as photo shoots. So I've got another baby.
tell our people how they can find you. How can they follow you? How can they learn more about the Reset?
Sure. Well, on Instagram, it's Francesca Rivetti _ hair art. Or you can go to my website, francescarivetti.com. There's information there about Reset as well as the Italy. Everything's on there. We're going to be adding more programs this year. I've hire somebody to help me with all the admin side and the behind the scenes, you know, the computer stuff. Because I'm getting to the point now, it's too much for me to do everything. And I do all my own videos and my own video editing as well. So there's that part. So everything that you see me post, I create, but it takes a lot of work to keep up to date with all your social media. But it's a gift that you give yourself, and everyone that's taken it has just said it's made such a difference in their life. You know, after the after effects of it. And that's why I like Reset. So the way I'm teaching, like, before you pick up your scissors, Reset. Think Reset. What am I doing? Oh yeah, I've got an A-frame. I've got to be eye line to action line. Why is your one length bob look graduated? Because you're not eye line to action line.
You know, I love that word because I would have never thought that, right? Like eye line to action line, but it makes sense. Like if you're looking down at an angle, just for you to be able to see it, you're going to add graduation.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's a lot because people aren't used to using their body. So like yesterday, I said, are you uncomfortable? They all said, yes, they're good. You're meant to be uncomfortable. Mm. And it will feel uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. And mastering your skills is not learning a skill. Mastering is continuous, repetitively executing it until you get it down to the point where you could do it with your eyes closed. That to me is what mastering is. So this course is for anyone that's really serious about changing their game.
Yeah, there's a great quote that it's been all over Instagram recently. Was like, mastering isn't learning a new skill or making a mistake. It's not making a mistake. It's doing it often enough so you can't make a mistake.
Yes, exactly. That's how I look at mastering your skills. And I'll say, like, with the haircuts behind me, I didn't invent them, but I've mastered the haircuts.
I love it. And now you're sharing it with us.
Yeah. So before I do that, like, say, well, any one of those shapes, I reset.
Well, you know what's amazing about those looks behind you, and for those people that are just listening in, she's got these you know, these really like strong like bob shapes. But I don't care what the trend is, if you get a really beautiful like bob shape, like it's just amazing.
I know, it's timeless, right? And you can see the mannequin on the stands behind us. These are what the girls created yesterday. So today we're progressing onto the square bob and then progressing onto the halo.
I love it.
And the one on your left shoulder, is those are the ones that you've done?
My left shoulder. No. The ones right at the back.
Yeah.
Those are the wigs that I did on Amelia, the model for the reset.
Yeah.
And then on the mannequins here, these are what Anna, Joy, and Victoria did yesterday.
Gotcha.
So brilliant. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Francesca, dude. Well, first, G, thank you. Thank you for the introduction.
Thank you, G.
That was a quick hour.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Oh, my God. We had fun.
Yeah, we did have fun. We absolutely had
especially,
fun.
Especially, you're so busy, and we're so appreciative that you gave us, you know, an hour of your time.
In the middle of a class.
Yeah.
In the middle of a class day, you know, like.
Hopefully, we'll be on that side soon.
You know where to find me, and I would love to have you. So thank you very much for having me on your awesome podcast, guys.
Francesca, thank you so much. Thanks for hanging out with us. And thank you very, very much for joining us on Your Day Off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.